Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Monday Night Live with Sunday Morning Breakfast. We're going to get ready for this evening's call. We're talking about hard decisions made easy. At this moment, we're going to welcome our leader, Mr. Tellius Carr. Mr. Carr, how are you? Mr. Carr?
Yes, ma'am.
I'm sorry. How are you this evening?
I'm doing wonderful. Yourself?
I'm doing great.
All right. Thank you so much. So, y'all, tonight we're talking about, again, hard decisions made easy. Now, tonight we're going with the open floor, okay? Open floor policy now. With that being said, at any time, you can press star 5 because we're going to have some questions. We have questions already from some emailers. And we're just going to get down to the business. So, Ms. Shabri, if you don't mind, is Mr. DJ there tonight? If not, Ms. Janice is going to be with me. Is he there?
No, sir, he's not.
Okay. So go ahead, unmute Ms. Janice, and then we're going to go ahead and get started with the call. Ms. Janice, are you there?
Ms. Janice?
Yes, I'm here.
All right. So we can go ahead and get started with the call. Ms. Janice, do you mind opening us up with prayer, please?
Sure. Let us close our eyes and bow our heads, please. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come right now just to say thank you. We thank you for another day. We just thank you for allowing us to be able to participate and be on this call. We ask that you would just open our hearts to be receptive to your word. We ask that you would just allow your word to convict us, oh God. Father God, we just ask that you would just continue to bless our leader, oh God. Continue to crown his head with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, oh God. Father God, that he may continue to break the bread and bring to us your most holy and righteous word, oh God, in the way that you would have him to bring it, oh God. So, Father God, we just thank you again, and we just ask that you would just touch Mr. DJ, oh God, whatever his ailment is, we just ask that you would just touch his heart and his mind and his soul. And, Father God, we just thank you. These and our blessings we ask in your darling son Jesus' name. Amen.
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 All right, y'all. So tonight, again, we're talking about hard decisions made easy. Let's go ahead and get that out there. Hard decisions made easy. Before we get started, can you give us a little a recap of this past week, just about 30 seconds worth? What did it mean to you? What did it say to you? What did you learn this past week? Are you there, Ms. Janice?
Oh, yes, sir. You cut out. I didn't hear you. I'm sorry.
Okay. Just give a little recap of this past week and me about what it meant to you. What was the significance behind the topic?
The significance behind the topic, hard decisions made easy. Just being on the calls this week has allowed me to just get more in depth in God's word and to understand that we do have free choice to make decisions. And when we make those decisions, we should always make those decisions in the spirit and not in our flesh because we want to do it God's way. So we just are entitled to be able to have that free will in making the decisions. And so God entrusts that to us that we make those decisions in his will and in his way.
Right now, so that's what it is, y'all. So we're talking about hard decisions made easy. And, again, at any point in time, if you have a question that you want answered, you want to share some information, even if you want to answer one of the questions that we pose from the emailers, please, by all means, press star 5. All you have to do is press star 5, and we'll get to you right away, all right? So let's go ahead and get started with our first email question, all right? Here's the first email question. The question is, Ms. Janice, I'm going to start with you. What is a decision? That's simple, y'all. What is a decision? What you got, Ms. Janice?
So to me, a decision is having a choice. So if I make a decision, I have that choice to make that decision, be it good or bad. It's my choice. I have that free will to make that choice in order to do something or not to do something.
Okay. A decision. What is a decision? Anybody press star 5 out there, Mr. Bree? Okay. Let me know if somebody pressed star 5. So what is a decision? Let's say a decision can be not only your choice, it's your option. It's what you decide to do, what you decide to go forward with. It's your selection. You know, if you're standing in line and you're looking at the menu, you make a decision. And typical decisions come on the brink. They come on the afterthought of what's best for you.
Right.
Okay. Typically, that's how we derive at a decision, because we go with what's best or what we perceive to be best for us. All
right?
Right. That's what a decision. What you say, Ms. Shabri, what would you say a decision is?
Well, a decision to me, just like Ms. Denise said, it's a choice. We all make choices, good or bad, with our decisions. So it is a choice, and we have to deal with the choice. So basically, that's what a decision is to me.
Okay, so that's a decision. So let me piggyback. Now, this wasn't a question. I just want to throw this one out, okay? What is the difference between a mistake and a decision? Because they kind of look alike. Oh, Lord.
Okay.
They kind of look alike.
Right, right.
They kind of look alike. But, Mr. Bree, I'll start with you. What is the difference between a mistake and a decision?
I see a mistake as something that wasn't planned. Like a decision, that was my choice. A mistake, that's something that just happened. It wasn't planned.
Okay. Ms. Denise, what you got?
I'm going to say a mistake is like an error, a slip-up, omission. So it's something that's misguided, a mistake.
Okay. Y'all, here's a mistake. A mistake is first a decision that you try to take back and say, uh-oh. It's a decision before it's a mistake.
All right.
Okay.
That's good. That's
you know what people say? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that.
All right.
But the decision had to be made before the I'm sorry came back.
All right. That's right.
Right.
That's good. Key.
You understand that, y'all? Come on, this open floor. This is the decorum tonight. You can, hey, star 5. What's the difference between a mistake and a decision? Mistakes just don't happen, because if they just happen, you can easily forgive old boy or old girl. They talking about they just slipped into something. No, they didn't.
Right.
Oh, they ain't just slipping too. If they know slip and slide.
They made
a decision. But see, typically, you learn if it's a mistake if it didn't benefit you, or if it hurt something that you didn't intend for it to hurt, or it was uncovered. And y'all know we'll say, hey, I made a mistake. But when does a mistake, hold on, watch this. When is it a mistake versus a decision, a choice? Because can you keep on doing the same old thing and call it a mistake?
All right.
No.
That's right.
No.
Cannot.
Come on, talk to me, Mr. Bree. You sound like you got a lot on your chest. What you got?
No, you can't keep on making the same mistake. Keep doing the same thing over and over and calling it a mistake.
That's
when
right.
You decided to do that. So that has been your choice. So if you keep on doing it, that's your choice. That's the choice you make.
Ms. Denise, I'm of this proponent. A lot of times we'll call a mistake once we've been busted, been hired, been exposed.
Right.
See, boy, I'm not going to do that tonight. We're going to keep to the fort where it's supposed to be, open floor. But y'all know this is real, right?
Yeah.
It's a mistake. When you knew consciously what you was doing, especially if you're trying to cover up, that's not a mistake.
Right.
You know how people say, I'm sorry I didn't mean it? How you mean it? You covered it up very well.
Right.
Because if it was an honest mistake, you don't cover it up. You bring it to the forefront and you say, I'm sorry before anything else knows about it. You tell them I'm sorry, even if they didn't know.
Right.
Oh,
right.
My. Oh, I told you I wasn't going to preach tonight, so I'm not going to do that. But oh, my. Huh?
Come on.
Go ahead, tap somebody on the shoulder and say, oh, my. Because it's real. Huh?
All right.
Because that means there was a decision I made. God dog it. I don't want to be caught in it. Okay? And you know it's no longer a mistake when you don't start. See, it's, you know it's not a mistake when it's followed by lies.
Right.
Hello?
That's right.
True that? Come on now.
That's true.
Man, this stuff gets real, y'all. Okay?
It's
and this
real.
Is something that, and the reason why I'm really harping on that, because some people need to hear this and hear this good. Okay? You have to know the difference between a mistake, huh, and one that we call a decision. That mistake
All right.
is a decision.
Mm-hmm.
Your mistake is a decision. Your mistake was a decision.
All right.
Think about it, y'all. Remember the Bible says, when we pray, we say, Father, forgive me the sins I know of and the sins that I don't.
Right.
Right.
So we praying because I've sinned that I ain't even know. But see, the Bible says it this way. Choose ye this day who you will serve. In other words, he said make a decision. When we don't choose God, you know we're susceptible to doing foolish stuff and not even realizing it.
Right. That's right.
You understand? But a lot
mm-hmm.
of mistakes that are made, we know we're making them. And how you know we're making them is when we start to protect the mistake with something called an L-I-E, a lie.
All right.
All right.
See, it's no longer a mistake. That means I consciously did it. I just didn't want you to find out about it. And so now since I didn't want you to find out about it, I can't tell the truth about it, so I have to lie about it.
Right. All right.
Right.
So when you start lying for decisions, don't call it a mistake.
All right.
Because if it's a mistake, you apologize and you get it right. And you tell
That's
the
right.
narrative and motive behind it. But don't say it's a mistake when you knew the narrative and motive behind it and you want to cover up. Because, in other words, my plan backfired on me.
All right.
Too good?
That's right. That's right.
Oh, yes.
Too good? It's not a mistake. Come on, y'all, press star 5 because I know we got a whole bunch of people. Now, we'll, you know, don't get quiet because we're in the presence of, you know, some right audience members because, you know, one-on-one, you'll go toe-to-toe with that man or that woman and say, that's a lie. That was a mistake.
Right.
Come on, speak up
right.
now. Forever hold your peace. Star 5.
Right.
Star 5. Anybody? What's the difference between a mistake and a decision? What's the difference? Anybody, Mr. Hmm.
No, sir, not at this time.
Okay. Okay, we got people sitting on their hands, Ms. Janice. It get real, huh, in the field.
Right, it's real.
Okay? These mistakes, see, here's the thing. You got to be very, 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 very careful because Satan is very, 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 very sharp, and he's cunning. And depend on what you like, according to your flesh, you excuse a decision as a mistake and say they just made a mistake. Well, how many mistakes
right.
they going to make before you wake up?
All right, now.
Hmm.
In other words, you done stuck around longer than you should have stuck around.
Right.
All right.
And you called it a mistake. And they keep on telling you that it was a mistake. I messed up. It was a one-night stand. How?
All right.
A one-night stand is not a mistake. That's a choice.
All right.
Huh? Come on, huh? Oh, it's funny how it's a mistake when you love that person. You let them slide, huh? But let it be somebody you don't like. Boy, they're the world's worst thing since Satan.
All right. All right.
Mm-hmm. Tell the truth.
Yeah, we know that's the truth. Let it be mama slip up and curse, and you'll say, well, you know, that's just mama. That was a mistake. But let your pastor curse, and you'll say, see, I told you. Them people out there fake.
Right.
I told you them pastors be fake. Oh, really?
All right.
Same action, though. Huh?
All right.
It's funny how it's a mistake when it's something that you like.
All right.
Oh, so you love yourself, so you know we only make mistakes because God know our heart. But what not the decision
Say
you
that.
Made? Your mistake mm-hmm. was a decision, whether you realize it or not. Well, Mr. Carr, how is that? What if I got married to the wrong person? That still was a decision. The Bible says don't be yoked together with people who are unbelievers. You shouldn't be unequally yoked. So you
All
made
right.
the decision not to listen to God. So that mistake was on you. It was a decision that you made.
Mm-hmm.
Do we really
That's
need
right.
to break it down even more? The Bible says to be vigilant, sober-minded. The same mind that Christ had, we should have. In other words, we should be conscious about our every thought, not just our every action, our every thought. We should be conscious about, so that we can make better decisions. You understand? See, mistakes meaning that it had no purpose.
All right.
Y'all hear me? Come on, y'all.
Oh, yeah.
People say I made a mistake, that means I did something without purpose. And when you do something without purpose, y'all better hear me and hear me good. When you do something without purpose, that means you're doing it without vision. And when there's no vision, death is the next step. In other words, your decision was all about death because it had no purpose and vision in the first place.
All right.
Come on.
See,
come on.
This is where you got to be careful, people. I'm trying to help some people who are trying to get delivered and stop letting people hang that mistake ribbon over their head and tie the bow. No, no. You got to be careful because people say it's a mistake and we all mess up. Yeah, but see, it's how you mess up and who you mess up with. You can't mess up with something that has committed to you and you're supposed to have committed to them. Because, see, here's the thing. When you commit to God, that means everything I do, I have purpose behind it because who I'm connected with. So if I can't do nothing without him knowing and without putting him first in the first place. So that's not a mistake. That was my choice to not include him.
Come on.
That's right.
You understand?
Yes.
Y'all following me so far?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
I'm telling you. So be careful of that. The topic is hard decisions to say easy. Stop excusing it with ourselves and others. Talking about those are mistakes. When are we going to mature? What was the purpose behind what you were doing? It was a purpose behind what you were doing. It was a purpose behind what you were doing. Now all of a sudden we call it a mistake because their purpose backfired on us.
Okay.
In other words, you didn't get the desire.
All right.
Come on.
It's Janice. If I'm married to you, Ms. Shabree, and I'm flirting with you, Ms. Janice, if you go to my cell phone and find that I've been communicating with Ms. Shabree, eventually I'm going to lie about it, I'm going to lie about it, until you find out the truth that I really was communicating with her on some lovey-dovey stuff and some, okay, now I'm at the fork in the road. Okay?
Right.
Now I'm begging for your forgiveness because I still want to stay married, but not initially. Because if I really wanted to stay married, I'd never mess with Shabree. See, that decision was easy. Now it's hard because it backfired.
Because,
see, Ms. Shabree didn't want to be with me. So now I got to come back. Ooh, thank you.
All
right.
Ooh, y'all better catch what I'm saying. It's only a mistake when my option A didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
Did y'all catch me?
It
a mistake when option A didn't work. But had option A, Ms. Shabree, worked, it would have never been a mistake. I'd have called Ms. Denise, our marriage was a mistake. Oh, my God.
All right.
Y'all don't hear me, though, right? Y'all don't hear
me,
though.
Teach it.
I'm married to Ms. Denise. She's my option B because I really want option A, Ms. Shabree. If Ms. Shabree, say, oh, I was just messing with you. I don't want to marry you. And Ms. Denise find out. Now, all of a sudden, I'm going to tell Ms. Janice, because Ms. Shabree don't want me, so I can't go there no way. I have to go back to option B and say it was a mistake. But had Ms. Shabree wanted me, my option A wanted what I wanted, was she want me and I want her, I'm going to tell option B, which I'm married to, I'm going to say, hey, we got to get a divorce because this whole thing was a mistake. See how we flip-flop the words, a mistake? It's based on what you can. Talk to me, somebody.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Because if option A worked, would we call option B a mistake? Yes, we would.
Yep.
Come on, anybody disagree? Throw a five now. This is open floor.
That's right.
I don't want to be the only one talking. Who this is? Who this is ringing? The bell ringing? Okay. That's that toddler. Okay. But y'all with me?
Oh, yes.
That's right.
Okay. So we're going to move on. I know we got nobody pressed star five yet, Mr. Bree?
Well, no, sir.
I guess we must be saying it right then, because ain't nobody getting... Okay. Here go the next one. What is the difference between making a decision in the spirit versus making a decision in the flesh? Wow. I'm going to start with you, Ms. Shabree.
Okay. Making the decision in the flesh, you using your emotions, you being emotional when you make it in the flesh. In the spirit, you letting God guide you. You seeking His help.
Okay. So can you break that down for me? So the question was, what is the difference between making a decision in the spirit versus making a decision in the flesh? Break that down for me.
Okay. How, like if I was to, I want to go on a trip. And went to my boss to ask him, I need this time off. He told me no. So, but I need to make a decision. I had already paid for it. I had already paid for the trip before I even asked to have a time off. So what would I do? Cancel my trip or just lie to him? So I'm going to see God what I need to do, which God say you never lie. But me being emotional, I just paid for my trip and I want to go.
Okay. Okay. I like that analogy. So what is the difference between making a decision in the spirit versus making a decision in the flesh? Y'all, let me break it out even more. Y'all know me. I got to go extra and deeper, right? You
mm-hmm.
got to be tough because a lot of people make a decision in the flesh and they'll lace it and sign off on it in God. In other words, you know, hey, I can't do this no more, but you be blessed. You see how they just signed off on it in God? Be blessed.
Right, right.
Come on now. Y'all know I ain't lying. In other words, they didn't just made a hard decision easy by using the name of God in it.
Right.
I can't be in this marriage no more. Let's go ahead and get this divorce. But I want you to be happy and be blessed. Now, they're the one who treated it. But they want
That's
you to
right.
be blessed. What is the difference between making a decision in the spirit versus making a decision in the flesh? Well, Mr. Bree, you said it best, okay? But I'm going to piggyback by what you just said. How you know it's in the flesh versus in the spirit? See, you got to be careful because just because a decision is a good decision, that don't mean it's a spirit-led decision. Good is subjective. In other words, you can like apples. And you can decide to cook an apple pie, but I like pumpkin. But it's good to you, but not good to me. See, good is subjective, but God is not subjective.
Right.
Y'all hear me and hear me good on this. What's the difference between making a decision in the flesh versus making one in the spirit? In other words, simple solution, WWJD. Would Jesus do what you just said? Would he do what you just did? If he wouldn't do it, that means it was not a spirit-led decision.
Right.
For instance, I'm going to go here for a second because it's open floor. Nobody presses star five, so I guess I'm going to talk. For instance, we're sitting in church, and the spirit, you say, hit you. And it hits you, and you start crying and shouting, and, you know, pastor say, you know, this, that, and the other, and whoop-de-woo, and all of a sudden, you start giving out money that God didn't tell you to give, but your emotions said give. Said it was 30 people with $100, but God told me to tell five of y'all to come up here with $500, and I got a special touch for you, a blessing. What touch you got?
All right.
What touch you got? You got that Michael Jackson glove? What you got?
All right.
Yeah. So now all of a sudden, you emotional, but it's supposed to be in a spiritual-led seminar and building.
All right.
And now you go home to nothing. Because that was supposed to be, that money was allocated towards something else. And you did something emotional, but you want to say it was spirit-led. Did God
All
tell
right.
you to do that? Or did you do it because of emotions?
All right.
Hold on. Did God tell you to love him? Or did you love him because of emotion? Now, what I mean by love is, I'm talking about outside of the scope of God. Huh? Come on, y'all. Can I do that? How can I done literally heard this before in my life. What's the difference between the decisions in the spirit versus decisions in the flesh? How can somebody decide to come out their mouth and say the most honest person I've ever been with was a married man? How is that?
My God.
Jesus, help them. Sneeze on them, God. Huh? Give them the spiritual flu. Something ain't right. How can the married man be the most honest person that you met. And as soon as you talk to them, make them dishonest.
All right.
Right.
Come on now.
But that's the most. See, you talking from your flesh. But it looks spiritual. Of course,
right.
He can be honest with you because he don't have nothing to lose with you.
All right. Come
that's
on.
That's right. Come on.
He knows his situation. And you, if you go to it, he can't do nothing but be honest with you because you already T-R-A-S-H to him.
Mm-hmm.
If you have integrity, you wouldn't want something that was already taken in the first place and not what God. You know, the problem is a lot of people don't think God put it together, so they think that they can tamper with it. No, y'all hear what I just said? That's how you know the best decision. I don't care what it looked like. If it's together, whether God put it together or not, I'm not touching it. I don't care. Because in my book,
that's
God
right.
put it together.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Yeah, Lord Jesus, come on now. How can you go to the married person and get information as if their information is the truth?
Come on.
Lord, have mercy. Y'all heard the question, right? What's the difference between making a decision in the spirit versus making one in the flesh? You telling me Jesus will go to something that's already taken? That's what you're telling me?
All right.
No.
Hold on. You telling me Jesus will listen to something that's already taken?
No.
What decision was, boy, because I love it, Miss Janice, Miss Shabri, because you know you done heard people say, well, this person was sick, and that's why I listened to them. And they don't have to see your emotional decision. Huh? It's based on the fact that you like the person who was talking about it in the first place.
Right.
So now all of a sudden you got the magic solution for ailments. Number one.
Right,
no, I'm sorry. Number one, it's not yours, so they shouldn't be talking to you. You should have redirected. Now, first of all, you shouldn't have had to redirect if the conversation was open in the first place.
All right.
Okay.
Huh? See, so you know those are not mistakes, right? Those are choices.
Right.
And those are fleshly decisions. How can you make a spiritual decision when you're not in God?
Come on now.
Right. Come on.
Don't get mad at me. Don't nobody throw stones. Now, I got two security right there, Sabri and Ms. Nick. Don't throw no stone.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They ain't all the way saved. They throw them right back.
Huh?
You understand what I'm saying, though? How can you make a spiritual decision when you're not, huh, led by the Spirit?
All
right.
You know that's impossible, right? You know you would be guessing, right? How you know you in God and not in God? What kind of decisions you make?
Right.
All right.
Lord. Well, hold on, Miss Clay. Everybody messed up. See, that's the problem. Why are we always talking about everybody? And why are we not talking about you? Because, see, when you really mature, you start worrying about everybody else.
Come on now.
As a matter of fact, when King David messed up and made a fleshly decision, didn't God send someone called Nathan to him to correct him?
Right.
That means even though he was after God's heart, once saved don't mean always saved. Hello?
All right.
That's right.
You know that all too well, right, everybody? Hard decisions made easy. You know that.
Yes.
Because if they was in love then, why they ain't in love with you today?
Come on.
Who made the decision to call that relationship love in the first place? Because if it wasn't in God, how can you call it love?
You can't.
Right.
How do you know the difference between a spiritual decision and a fleshly decision? One is going to last and the other one is going to fade away.
All right.
Let me say it again. One going to last and the other one going to fade away. And the one that lasts, you shouldn't have to struggle to keep it together. In other words, you're still making a flesh decision when you are in a marriage that you should have never been in. Just accept the fact that you had them children out of wedlock and move forward. Don't marry them talking about I want them to have a daddy around and you know it wasn't God. Leave it alone. Lick your wound and get it right with God and live the rest of your life. Now you're about to make a grave G-R-A-V-E, meaning death decision. It's driven by the flesh because it's not driven by the spirit.
All right.
In other words, how you know is a spirit-led decision versus a flesh-led decision? Because one is going to stand the test of time, but watch this. Be careful because both of them can try and stand the test of time And people say that is a spiritual decision because that is my wife, that is my husband. But here's the thing. When you're struggling to keep it together, that ain't it. Because God said his yoke is easy and his burden is light. See, that means it would naturally stay together. You wouldn't have to force somebody to love you.
Come on.
All right.
You wouldn't have to force somebody to love you, huh? Like you say you love them. You know y'all not equally yoked. Hold on. Shouldn't the love, hold on. Shouldn't the love match? Your faithfulness should match. Your integrity should match. Your truth should match. Because your God is the center. That's why it should match. So you know it's not equally yoked. You're trying to fit something that don't fit together. That's how you know it's a flesh decision. You're going about by your senses, what they sound like, what they look like, what they think like. That's what you're going about, how their finances are, how their sex is, as opposed to what the spirit is like. So you can have all that and miss the spirit.
How
that's
long?
How you know it's a flesh decision.
That's
and
right.
And then we'll cover it up in God and say, but God put this together. No, he didn't.
Mercy.
How can God put something together that ain't with him first? Let me say that again. Watch this. Why would God put you two together and you two, neither one of y'all, are with him?
All right now.
Okay.
See, that's a flesh decision. Get it right. Okay, can we move forward? We good?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Ain't nobody throw no phone yet, huh, Mr. Bree? Okay, cool. Watch that now. That's my ADT right there. All right. Question number three. Ms. Janice, I'm going to start with you. Do all bad decisions have a negative consequence behind them?
Hmm. I'm going to say not all bad decisions have a negative consequence.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I'm going to say that all bad decisions don't have a negative consequence is because I can make a decision today, and it can very well be a bad decision, but in the end, it could still turn out for my good.
Okay. Can we do this before I get to you, Ms. Shabree? What constitutes it as a bad decision, Ms. Shabree, versus a good decision?
Bad decision, your choice. I don't know how to answer that one.
Okay, oh no, it's okay. You can be tongue-tied. That's okay. That's what we got backup for. Hold on. Ms.
Denise.
I said Ms. Denise. It's all good. Denise. God say that's a heavenly name, Denise. It is. Okay. Ms. Denise. Okay.
Yes.
I'm giving it to you already. Look. Ms. Denise. What makes it a bad decision versus a good decision?
And Mr. Carr, Mr. DJ is here.
Okay, we're going to get Mr. DJ. Get him on the line, too. So what makes it a bad decision versus a good decision?
I'm going to say a bad decision is in the flesh. I'm going to say a good decision is in the spirit.
Ooh, boy, hold on. Let me get my thing right quick. Hold on. That's some good food, huh? Huh? A bad decision is in the flesh. The Bible says it this way. Nothing good comes from the flesh.
All right.
That means not even a decision.
All right.
So now we know what a bad versus a good decision is. Let's get back to that question again. Mr. Bree, do all bad decisions have negative consequences that follow them?
Yes.
Uh-oh. Okay. Mr. Bree said yes. Mr. Janice said no. Why you got yes behind yours, Mr. Bree? Stand your ground.
I say yes because the consequences when you making a bad decision, to me, all bad decisions, you have consequences. Bad or good, you have a consequence behind it.
I feel like I like how you tried to flip that on me. I'm a kind of word. Now I said keep to that bad decision. Let's talk about the negative. Does it have a negative consequence? Let's stick to that right quick.
Okay. Well, the negative consequence. Yes, the bad decision to me still has a negative consequence to it.
Okay, Mr. DJ, let me let you chime in a little bit. Okay. Now, he's been hibernating for about 2 weeks, so he good now. You good?
Yeah. About 75%.
Huh?
About 75%.
All right, well, we're making it through. We've been praying for you. So tell us, man, does all bad decisions have negative consequences that follow them?
No.
Okay, okay.
No. Sometimes you doing wrong can show somebody else what not to do, or to keep them from thinking that they're the only ones that slip. You know, to let them know that they are still God's child, and, you know, other people have traveled and slipped this way before, but don't slip again. So I'm going to say that.
Now, Mr. Bree, I ain't going to let them tag team on you, so I'm going to jump on your side. You know, big dogs on your side. They don't want to step with the big dog now. So here we go. Both answers are correct, but let me break them down. Yes and no. The question was, do all bad decisions have negative consequences? Absolutely yes. All of them do. Let me show you the difference. Like Mr. DJ just said, he just said that it can actually show people what not to do. But here's the thing. God is nothing but good.
All right.
Satan is nothing but, see, in other words, God had to create that. You know he created Satan. You know he created hell. In other words, he had to show the bad because everybody wouldn't understand the good. Whew.
Right.
All right.
Uh-oh. Y'all better catch this now. In other words, some of us wouldn't appreciate the sun until the thunder and the rain came.
All right, man.
Some of us wouldn't appreciate joy if it wasn't for pain. Now, some of us would. All right? Yeah. Do all bad decisions have negative consequences? Absolutely, because bad is from the flesh. However, this is what makes it not a negative consequence. When you mature, in the interim. In other words, I made a bad decision. I made a fleshly decision. But then I mature in God, and, you know, I have a child out of wedlock, y'all. That was a bad decision. But as I matured in the process of her being, you know, she growing, and I'm growing, so now my bad decision has a positive consequence because now I can speak on behalf of good and not bad.
All right.
Right.
All right.
Now, if I stayed in my flesh, if I stayed in my flesh, that bad decision does have a negative consequence because how could I speak to anything good?
All right.
How can I tell you what not to do but when I see my bad as the norm, as right? I can't tell you what to do.
Come on.
Y'all hear me?
Yes.
So does all bad decisions have negative consequences? Yes. But if that bad gets right, it's no longer negative because remember the Bible said all things work together for the good of those that love the Lord. But here's the problem. Here's the dilemma. Watch this. Here's the great denominator. You have to fall in love with God, and not through emotion, through obedience. This is how you know you love God. So although you made a bad decision, you start to get it right through your obedience to God. Now everything that you created that was bad can work out for your good because now you can see the positive in it to say, I will never go that route again. See, you can't make a bad decision and keep on doing bad things and think that God is involved in it, talking about it works together for my good. No, it doesn't.
Right.
And could you, hold on. How you know that we have yet to get away from bad decisions? The Bible says it this way. The wages, that means somebody paying somebody. The wages of sin is death. That means sin will pay for you to die.
Mercy.
Come on now.
How you know people keep on living in bad decisions? Why are they dying? I ain't talking about the physical death, the spiritual death. That's how you know somebody's spiritually dead? When they don't even respond to, hey, stop, get up. When you don't even respond to God, that's how you know you're spiritually dead. Oh, my.
Mercy.
Oh, my. How you know they can be walking next to you and smiling and praising in church? How you know they're spiritually dead? When they don't respond to God's voice.
All right, man.
They dead. That means they'd have been making bad decisions and they never came out of their bad decisions. And look at the negative consequence of it. Bam.
Mercy.
All bad decisions have negative consequences. They only become good consequences when your bad turns into good. In other words, it may have started off as bad, but I got it right in the middle. Oh, my.
Come on.
Oh, my. Because we were sinners. But when you're washed and born again, in other words, without being born again, you will remain bad, and God can't use that which is bad.
Who can cook with bad milk? Who can cook with bad potatoes? Who can cook with bad red beans? You can't. You got to throw it away. Uh-oh.
All right.
I'm talking?
Good.
Because if you don't throw that bad food away, somebody's going to get sick. Look at the negative consequence of bad. Hello?
Right. That's right.
All right. Next question. I'm going to start this one off with you, Mr. DJ. Come on, y'all love these calls here. Open floor. Nobody in Press Star 5 yet? I thought they were supposed to be joining in, asking a question. Okay.
Oh, no, sir.
Okay. Now, y'all do know just because we're having a conversation, that don't mean because people, I don't like to argue. A debate is not an argument.
Right.
Anytime somebody disagree, they arguing. Well, I ain't going to argue with you today. That ain't no argument. Huh?
All right.
Who you need to be arguing with is the devil. Telling him no. And telling no means no. Okay. Let me get to my question because everybody got quiet on that one. Mr. DJ, the question is, do my decisions, good or bad, only affect me, or do they affect others as well?
All right.
Well, if it's your decision, of course it's going to affect you. But, yes, it can affect others as well. Like you said, good or bad, it can affect others as well.
Mr. DJ trying to cut me short tonight. He don't want to give me that juice. Mr. DJ, give me that crunk juice. Tell me what you mean by that. Give me some examples, because you know you talk about the clock was on 12 and a crow came back. What you got, Mr. DJ?
If you make a decision to, let's just say, something immature like run away from home, or better yet, to invite, let's say you are a parent is messing with a married person, man or woman, and that is going to affect your child as well as you and your whole family. Mm-hmm. I mean, and not just you and your family, but that person and their family too. And Lord help you what it's going to do to your soul and his soul. So, yeah.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't that something,
y'all? Mr. Carr, have a hand raised.
Decisions. Well, who we got? Who we got? What we got? Go ahead.
Okay. Go ahead, caller.
Hello, how are y'all tonight?
We're doing wonderful. And yourself?
Good, good. Could you repeat the question?
Okay. You sound like somebody I know, and I confirmed it when you said, can you repeat it? I already know. That's Super Lady J. She confirmed that. All right, y'all, the question says, do my decisions, good or bad, only affect me, or do they affect others as well?
I would say decisions, good or bad, it will affect people that, your loved ones, yes, either, let's say me, I always said I wanted to, I was going to move out of town or move out of state, you know, my sister passed because her kids, you know, I love my niece and nephew, but they remind me so much of my sister, and I had a hard time with that, but I love them so much, you know, I don't want to, my decision was not to leave because it would be a bad decision because my family needs me, you know, it's like I have like 10 jobs now,
okay.
And it would be a bad decision, it would be good, you know, in the flesh, but in the spirit, that's not what God wants me to do.
Okay.
You know, things happen for a reason. Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much, Ms. J.
Okay.
Love you so much, Ms. J, because she's going to be asking some questions. Thank you, though. All right, y'all. So here's the deal. The question says, do my decisions, good or bad, only affect me, or do they affect others as well? All right? Mm. Mr. Bree, what you got real quickly?
Okay, repeat the question. I'm sorry.
Oh, Lord. Hey, hold on. Hold on. Let me make these decisions clear. Let's play, y'all. Anybody want to play over this? All right. My decisions, good or bad, only affect me, or do they affect others as well?
They affect others as well. They just don't affect me. My bad decisions are, well, let me just talk about myself. My bad decisions affect other people when I make them choices. it's not just me. If I'm making a choice, say, for instance, if I step out on my spouse or my significant other, I'm affecting the people around me, my kids and other people I'm affecting. So it affects other people.
Okay. Ms. Denise, real quickly, what you got on that one?
I'm going to say that they do. If I make a decision, it does affect a plethora of people. Be it if it's a bad decision, and just like Ms. Shabri stated, you know, and I use that scenario all the time. You know, if I'm stepping out on my spouse, that affects my kids, that affects my family, that affects my friends, because we've invested our relationship with friends. It affects everybody.
And but do you have to be in a marriage? Do you have to be married? Because
no,
I need to get this clear. Do you have to be married for not to
affect?
Because some people,
I don't have to be married. That's the same thing, you know, just having friends in general. You know, if I make a bad decision, that could affect my friends in general. So it doesn't necessarily have to be a marriage or a relationship. It could affect my friends. I could make a decision that would affect my daughter and my granddaughter. So, yeah, if I make a bad decision, it affects a lot of people.
All right, Mr. DJ, I want you to give me some spiritual counseling. I want you to give me some spiritual counseling. I'm going to be the scenario, okay? Okay, y'all,
okay.
I'm enacting something, so don't talk about it. I knew he was all down bad. All right, so here's DJ. So, man, what's up? You supposed to be my spiritual counselor now?
Yes, sir.
Okay, now look. Now, my mama told me to come talk to you. I don't know why. The decisions that I make, she don't even know. I mean, I masturbate. Nobody else is around. So how is that decision affecting anybody else? I mean, I don't even know why I'm here, but I'm going to let you talk. But, I mean, how is that affecting somebody else?
It's going to affect somebody else, just like people can step out in a relationship. You can also step out your faith. You can also step out on God. And woe is be to you by doing that. You might be, someone might be mentoring you. You see your little nephew over there? He's looking up to you. He must follow you as you follow Christ. So
but hold on, sir. I understand you're trying to bring all that godly stuff to me, but I just made it clear, and I ain't going to disrespect you, but I just said, nobody know I'm in the privacy of my own room. It's not my house, it's her house, but nobody don't know this. So how is that affecting somebody else?
It's going to affect someone else by the way that you act towards them in certain decisions. Believe it or not, when you pleasure yourself like that, you're going to develop a different attitude, not just towards females in general, but even with yourself.
Okay.
So that's why you got to kind of watch yourself, because, again, others are watching you and people are looking up to you. So,
that's good counseling. That's good, y'all. That's good. Do my decisions, good or bad, affect others, not just only me? Absolutely. Y'all remember Achan in the Bible? Joshua, somebody in your camp has sinned. Joshua didn't even know that Achan had sinned. Do you not understand that God will delay some stuff because some people are doing some stuff they shouldn't be doing? But do you not understand? You see the scenario that I just gave out, the scenario? You know, people who do bad decisions, they coming from the flesh, because nothing good comes from the flesh. So bad decisions, if you see a bad decision, guaranteed you're going to find a selfish person.
All right.
Amen. Guaranteed. In other
right.
words, they only think of themselves and they can't see beyond that. They never see that they're hurting everybody else. Even if they never found out, God still know.
Amen.
Because if you love God that much, how could you say, nobody don't know about it? I thought you said you love God, the omnipresent God. See, selfish people will say, well, I'm not hurting nobody else. I mean, it's only just me. But see, nobody don't have to find out for you to be hurting them, because you can be withholding. You can stop the blessing. You can stop the blood from being played over your mama, your daddy, your children, your coworkers, because of your foolishness, the hidden secret. The Bible says what's done in the dark shall be brought to light. That's not being brought to people who are in the world. That's being brought to first God, because he's bringing it to him to correct it. That's why. And then people who he has called. So since we reject God, the first light, he brings a messenger to expose you. To tell you about yourself, bad decisions come from selfish people. In other words, they put themselves before the will of God.
All right.
Hence, the decision is always bad. Now, that's the bad side of it. But good decisions, y'all read your Bible, right? Cool. Don't you know that same woman and that same man, he step out and he's not doing right, don't you know her good decisions can cover that whole house?
Mm-hmm. All right. Right.
Remember we had them praying grandmamas and praying granddaddies? They covered us while we was out there buck wild.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Y'all understand? You see them good decisions? But here's the thing. God will take their hand off of it, too, now.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now.
God will, woo! But who cannot, do you not understand God will preoccupy them? Because he knew if they was around because they got such an anointing and God can't over, he will not override himself. You do know that they'll be praying for you and God can't touch you, so God will preoccupy them so they can't pray to where he can get to you. You know that?
All right.
All right.
Oh, man, this is real. This is real. God will preoccupy them so now he can actually get to you because he's them as well. So he couldn't override himself. But y'all think I'm lying? Remember Esau? You remember?
That's right.
They deceived mm-hmm. the father, but because the anointing is so strong, they couldn't take it back.
All right.
Oh, my gosh. Y'all thought I was playing, huh? Huh? Hmm. Whatever decision you make, good or bad, it not only affects you, it definitely affects others, and spirits travel.
All right. Right.
Spirits travel, y'all. Okay? That's why it's called a generational curse. You can't see it, but why they still doing it?
All right.
They can't see the sin that you did. Huh? You'd be like, man, where did I get this? I mean, I'm always in a mood to do something. Like, where I get this from? Shoot, you must not know mom and daddy, grandmama and granddad. Huh? You just hiding the pants like they were. You just don't look at them like, where you think it came from?
Huh? Right.
Your intellect. See, it can be a generational curse, but it also can be a generational blessing.
All right.
Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? We are blessed because of who? Ooh, my God. Decisions, y'all. Decisions,
right.
Y'all. Y'all with me?
Yes,
sir.
Oh, this is real. I love this. Everybody there, huh? Okay, cool. Let's move forward. Number five. I'm going to start with you first, Ms. Shabri. How do I correct the bad decisions I've made?
First, by seeking help from God, praying and letting him guide you to correct the bad decisions that you made.
Here's the thing, Ms. Denise. Can you correct mm-hmm. the bad decision when you don't view it as bad?
If you don't view it as bad, no, you can't correct it.
Can I tell y'all something, Mr. DJ? Can I tell you something? Because you're my brother.
Uh-huh.
Can I tell y'all something?
Uh-huh.
You know if you lie about it, you never view it as bad because you can't expose it and lie about it at the same time. If it's bad, you got to expose it. But see, if it's not bad, you won't expose it. You'll minimize it. The Bible says love covered a multitude of sin and lies covered a multitude of truth. Lord, have mercy.
Right.
I say that again. Satan wants to be like God so much to where he'll take something and reverse it. You ever heard somebody say, DJ, okay, your ex-wife, and I'm just throwing this out there, this is his ex-wife, I'm just using an analogy. Anything that you tell that child, you can say, baby, daddy love you. The ex-wife's going to say, no, he don't. You can say, hey, you're going to a private school. She's going to say, no, you're not. You're going to a public school. You ever notice how sin always opposes God? You know it's not the same spirit when they oppose each other. You do know that because God would never say no to himself.
Right.
That's right.
Ooh-wee. So with that being said, watch this, y'all. With that being said, you do know that as we build this platform and talk about bad decisions, you do know that love covers a multitude of wrongdoing. Huh?
Right.
That's why so many people still make bad decisions because they love through the flesh and they will cover up. The very person that did wrong, they'll cover up their wrong and expose something else that they shouldn't be exposing.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
You ever notice that? That's when people say love is blind. No, love is not blind. They're just using love in the flesh. So they have misled and misguided people as to what love really is. That is not love. Because love will correct the wrongdoing. It'll cover it, but it will correct it.
When did you ever correct it? When was it ever corrected? But you can't correct something without being first corrected.
All right.
Y'all understand where I'm going with this? Love covers a multitude of wrongdoing, but lies will cover a multitude of right. Lord, have mercy. Look at the devil. God is here. Satan wants to be there. So if God said, I cover a multitude of wrongdoing, Satan said, I will cover a multitude of right doing. This is when people start covering the truth because they don't want God to be exalted. If you're telling the truth, I'm going to exalt the God in you and say, you know what? You found me out. You're telling the truth. You're right. But Satan never wants God to be elevated. That's why people will tell you your truth, meaning God, your God is wrong. They will argue with you to the day Jesus come back.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me I'm lying, somebody.
Oh, no.
Tell me I'm lying, somebody. In other words, they have yet, boy, the question was, how do I correct the bad decisions I made? You can't correct them until you first identify them. If you're still familiar with them, you would never call the very place where you are bad.
All
because
right.
That's your comfort zone. This is why the Bible says you must hate yourself. You can't love yourself and call everything that you do bad. This is when people start whining, talking about everything I do is wrong. If it's wrong, it's wrong. Why are you mad about it? Correct your wrongdoing. In other words, they're saying, at least let some of my stuff go by. No, because when you're sharp, ain't nothing going by like that. I would rather be judged right now as opposed to God tell me I did one thing wrong. So get it right now.
All right.
Hello?
That's right.
Yes,
sir.
Let me get there, Mr. DJ. Mr. DJ, I'm coming to you. How can I correct the bad decisions I've made?
How can you correct a bad decision that who made?
No, how can I correct bad decisions, meaning plural, not one.
Uh-huh.
But how can I correct all of them? All them bad decisions I've made? How can I correct them, Mr. DJ?
Well, first you must humbly submit yourself to Christ. Seek him to help you understand, first of all, what you did wrong, and then the spirit that's in you, why? Like how to get rid of it, throw it out. And help them to keep you on the straight and narrow. If you don't understand what you did wrong, it's almost like apologizing because somebody told you to say, I'm sorry, rather than you feel it and thoroughly understand it. Don't tell me you're sorry and you really don't mean it. My mom used to always say that. You know, you must first have it in your heart. You must first have to seek it through Christ and believe that you're wrong, ask for forgiveness, and then don't do that no more.
Mr. DJ, Mr. Nee, watch this. Mr. Bree, watch this. Mr. DJ, is that a real apology when you had to get caught in it?
Oh, no.
Versus
man,
you knew
you were. Oh, no. No, 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 no. No,
Mr.
No,
Nee, am I really apologizing for what I did if you caught me?
Mm-hmm.
Say that again, I think.
Am I really apologizing, Mr. Bree, Ms. Denise? Am I really apologizing if you caught me versus me just having to come in and tell you?
No, that's not real. No.
You're telling me what you think I want to hear.
What'd you say, Ms. Denise?
This is me.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Who, Ms. Denise, what you told me?
If I catch you, you're just going to tell me what I want to hear instead of being the integrity, having the integrity to just come to me and tell me.
Right.
I just something. So if I didn't come to tell you, that means I'm either one, still trying to cover it up, or two, I don't think I did anything wrong.
That's right.
And most time it's both.
Uh-oh. Boy, she wants to get a double dose. What'd you say?
That's true, Mr. Carr.
What you got, Mr. DJ?
My sister, when we were younger kids, my dad asked her to go get the broom from upstairs, and she said a curse word. I don't want to get the D broom. So, you know, it shocked my parents, so they was like, what? And he said, what did you say? And she repeated it. So she didn't know no better. That's why she didn't get a whooping, but at the same time, you know, hey, like, hold on. She's picking up language like this. But now, you get older and you say that, meaning that you know what you're doing. Oh, yeah, it's on.
But she was, we were just little kids. And you got to look at that. The same way we're talking about apologists, if you don't know you did something wrong or you feel like you don't believe it or what have you, then you can keep that apology because they're just doing what you asked them to do.
You just hit a key point. You said she repeated it because she didn't know. See, typically,
right.
You know it's a mistake when you do it in the open because you don't think it's wrong. You don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But if you got to
mm-hmm.
hide it, that means you know exactly what you're doing and it's not
mm-hmm.
a mistake.
Yep, that's right. That's right.
Did not say this? That's just a,
yep.
And look, our decisions become our lifestyles. It become a lifestyle. And see, that spirit starts to weigh on you so much to where you think that's your norm.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah, I done seen people make bad decisions. God is my witness. I've seen people make some bad decisions. And it's not the fact that they just made a bad decision. It's the stuff that they even say after the bad decision. Like, I was trying to be the bigger person. How can you be a bigger person to God, to something God say leave alone? How?
Right.
So now we start to cover up a lie. As opposed to say exactly what it is, I was invested. Now we want to cover it up with subtle words that says I was being a bigger person. You can never be a bigger person to sin. Ever.
No.
Come on.
Ever. Ever. But see, that's still in denial. And being that you're still in denial, that means you will never come to the full knowledge of God to ever be delivered. See,
amen.
God, to do something means tell the truth. And when you tell the truth, then everything else can, see, then the rebirth can happen.
Right.
And Mr. Carr,
huh?
The ultimate example is in the garden with Adam and Eve. And God told him not to do something. First thing, after they committed the sin, they hid. That's how they knew it was wrong and got dealt with. First thing Adam wanted to do is blame. That old woman, she told me to do that. Then the woman
let me back you up right quick, DJ. Let me back you up 1 second because you made a great point. You made a great point, but let me swing with you right quick. Catch what he was saying, y'all, and I don't think you even caught it, Mr. DJ. The tree that they wasn't supposed to eat off of was what? The tree of knowledge of good and evil.
Mm-hmm.
Woo!
Mm-hmm.
In other words, if you remain pure, just like his little sister cursed, God can deal
right.
with that. This is the one who know better and don't do better.
Amen.
In other words, they was naked and didn't even see sin. But as soon as they ate knowledge of good and evil, now they say, ooh, he got a penis. Ooh, she got breasts. And they had to hide from one another.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? They hear from one another before God came on the scene. Y'all ain't hear what I just said. Good decision, hard decisions. Watch this. They hear from one another, meaning they became after the flesh first before they was after God. Because, see, if you was after
right.
God, you answer to God first, and then you answer to the flesh second. Uh-oh.
Amen.
That means
right.
they put their flesh before they put their God. See, when people start putting other people before you, you will know. Because, see, you can't serve two. You will know if you're a second decision or not. Who they put first, watch how their lifestyle lined up. Watch it. Who they pleasing. The question was, how do I correct bad decisions? You have to get in God. First of all, you have to get in God to even be able to evaluate what is good and bad. Because if you're not in God, you would think that your bad decision is good. Because good to me is if somebody touched my mama, I'm swinging. That's good to me. If you touch my daughter, I'm swinging. What's good to me
all
is
right.
that I have 3 or 4 jobs, and I'm going to work till I can't work no more because I'm going to make that money because my Bible says if a man don't work, a man don't eat. That ain't what he means. Because he told Peter to put that job down. Tell me what job he had when he made money. If a man don't work, a man don't eat, that is heaven-based. Don't have time to explain it tonight.
Mm-hmm.
You better be working in God. Right? So how do I correct bad decisions? Give it to God, because we don't have the ability to give it, to correct it. All we can do is give it to God and then follow his instructions. That's how you correct
all right.
it.
All right.
I need to say this again. Because we babies, we can't correct our little boo-boo.
The only way you can correct a bad decision is that you give it to God, get in God, and let him tell you what to do thereafter. Hello?
All right.
That's right.
And guess what? The outcome very well may not be what you want, because Miss Shabri, if I stepped out on you with Miss Janice, you don't have to take me back. There's a consequence to it. And I can be saved right now, but that don't mean that God not in it. Because just because Moses got back right don't mean that he went into the promised land. Hello?
That's right.
All right.
Forgiveness don't mean fellowship, and don't let the flesh tell you otherwise. Well, if you really forgave me, you would accept me back. No, I won't.
All right.
Some things you just never go back to.
Come on now.
Huh?
That's right.
You just don't. I mean, I don't forgave Bluebell, but they would not touch my lips again. No, I'm good. I said, shoot.
Over here.
Look, I told you. Somebody said, shoot.
No, I'm good. I got your back.
Somebody, I'm a forgiving spirit, dude.
I got your back, Mr.
Y'all get my drift. Let me go through these questions, y'all. I ain't messing with y'all tonight. Let's come on. All right. Number six. Okay. These are all questions. Hard decisions made easy. Why is it so hard, Miss Janice? Why is it so hard to live for God, but so easy to live in sin?
Oh, that's a good one. It's hard to live for God because, how do I want to direct this? It's easy to live in sin because our fleshly nature. Let me start with that. It's easy to live in sin because our fleshly nature, because when we live in sin, we're just basically doing whatever we want to do when we live in sin. We're doing whatever we think we're big and bad enough to do. That's just what we do when we live in sin. And in order to live in God, it is, you know, we have to put our flesh to the side. We got to live in the spirit. We got to submit ourselves to Christ. We got to deny ourselves daily. And that's what we don't want to do, because it's just so much easier to live in waterless sin.
Okay. I'm going to go next, and then I'm going to tell you, Mr. DJ, you go on, then you, Mr. Bree. Okay?
Okay.
I would say the reason why it's hard to live for God, yet easy to live in sin, simple. Unruly versus discipline. People don't like discipline. They like to live unruly.
All right.
Simple. In other words, I like to go to the house where there's the least resistance. If you ever notice, that's why players don't mess with intelligent women. Oh, Lord. I ain't trying to put nobody down, but I got to keep it real. If you ever notice, a player would never mess with a woman of integrity and that's intelligent, don't play games. They mess with weak women, meaning flesh women. You understand? Because they know that real woman is going to cause them to spend too much energy. There's too much discipline over there. I got to invest too much. So I got to go to the least resistance.
Ooh. All right.
In other words, it's easy to live in sin because I can do whatever I want to do. But it's hard to live in God because I know he runs it all, and I have to obey him in order to show my love for him. That's why. And isn't
all
it easier to just say I love God as opposed to show it?
All right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Uh-huh. That's why it's so hard to live in God, because God requires that we do. But flesh requires
that
we don't. All we got to do is say it.
All right.
All right. What you got, Mr. DJ? Why is it so hard to live in God but easy to live in sin?
Well, for one, we are born into sin. And when you come into this world, you don't know anything. It's easier, as you said, to live in chaos into sin, because you the president, you the governor, you the mayor. You're looking out for self. You don't have to worry about nothing else or do anything else. Now, when you switching over to God, you're no longer number one. So you're number two. And that's very, very difficult for us sin-sick, selfish people. We always teach, don't let nobody push you around. Don't let nobody do this. Don't let nobody do that. But how many of us really preach and talk about wisdom and understanding in the spiritual? Even a lot of pastors and preachers preach about today, 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 and the flesh today. But there's so much that we are taking the wrong way, because people are not talking about the spirit and actually being with Christ. And in that spirit, we thinking streets are paved with gold. Okay, we're thinking about a real street. We're thinking about Harding Boulevard, Plank Road, all these other places paved with gold. Literally a sidewalk, a line going down the street, but that's not what they're talking about.
Well, y'all okay. know Mr. Jason being on the mega bus, but go ahead.
Yes, sir. You can't have it both ways, you know, and that's the problem with God's way, period.
That's right.
You can't justify all the wrong that you're doing, and all you know, you still trying to be the president and the governor in charge. So you have to deny yourself in order to be in God.
Okay, Mr. Bree, real quickly, why is it so hard to live for God but so easy to live in a sin?
Okay, I say it's hard to live for God. He holds you accountable, and people don't want to be held accountable. And living in sin, and for sin, the world, they forgive you for everything. They're not going to hold you accountable for nothing. They just let you do what you want to do.
Boy, I love that. Y'all, I got to say, hold on. She just gave the best answer of the night. You know that?
Uh-huh.
I got to give credit where credit due. That's amazing, Mr. Bree, seriously. Because God holds you accountable for everything that
that's
you do right or wrong.
That's
but
right.
In the world, people don't hold you accountable. As a matter of fact, they encourage you not to be accountable. As a matter of fact,
right.
they encourage you to live an easy life. Don't answer to him. Don't answer to her. You don't even
right.
have to answer to God. Because they say you don't have to answer to God by saying, well, just pray about it. That means you don't have to be accountable for it when you do it. My God.
Right. Right.
Right.
Oh, that's good, Mr. Bree. All right. Here we go. If y'all can remain, please remain. If you can't, look, we thoroughly enjoyed having you on the phone and listening. We'll be back on Wednesday if you can, but if not, check us out next Monday. We're going to get back to that Facebook Live as well, right? So with that being said, if you can't remain, remain. We got two more questions for you, okay? Here's the first question. Oh, actually, we got three, but we're going to run through them right quick. The question says, I have a dilemma. I have a court order for child support that I pay on time every single month. But on birthdays, holidays, and big events, my child comes to me for more money. Am I obligated to pay more? And a hashtag, Dad on a budget. Ms. Janice, what you got for Dad on a budget?
Well,
let me not ask you first because you got a lot on your chest, too. Mr. DJ, what you got? These look like she's winding up. We're gonna get her some milk. DJ, what you got?
I concur, and this happens with females that pay child support too. But you are obligated. You're obligated by a different law. I volunteered child support, and I know sometimes it doesn't go where it's supposed to go. But even when I see my kid, if I got it. You know, I'll go ahead and you know, share the wealth or what have you. But birthdays, holidays, and stuff like that, to me, that's considered extra. I mean, you never stop technically being a parent. I mean, some people think just because 18, that's it. That's what that law, the United States law say. But God's law don't stop right there.
Okay.
So I feel, yes, you are still obligated.
Okay. Mr. Bree, what you got?
I'm sorry, Mr. Carr. Could you repeat the question?
Lord Jesus. We're going to get her some milk, too. Okay. The question is, I have a dilemma. I have a court order for child support that I pay on time every single month. But on birthdays, holidays, and big events, my child comes to me for more money. Am I obligated to pay more? Hashtag Dad on a budget.
No. I'm going to say no because he's paying his child support. If the father is paying his child support to the mother, he should be taking care of all his needs, point blank. And the father can do it if he wants to, but that mother should be taking care of all his needs. He shouldn't have to go to the father for anything if he's paying his child support.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm.
This stuff loaded. Now, we ain't going to be on this all night, y'all.
Can I respond, Mr. Carr?
Hold on, let me let
you. I have a hand, Mr. Carr, I have a hand raised, too.
Didn't I tell y'all we can build it all night? What the hell, what the hell got to say?
Okay, now. Go ahead, caller. Hello? Caller?
Okay, they must have pocketed
that. Okay, yeah. He don't want to say anything.
I just want to ask a question.
What you got, Mr. DJ?
If my little girl, who I do pay child support, can't really control her finances, her parent does, and let's just say the ice cream man is outside and she wants some ice cream. I mean, I know I'm not obligated to give her no more money, but yeah, I'm going to go ahead and buy it or give her the money to go get it. Same way at school. It might be a school sock hop or, you know, some kind of dance or something they may need. Yeah, if I have it, definitely.
Well, if they're in your presence, yes. You're giving her the ice cream.
Right.
If she's with you, if she's with you, but if she's at home, if she's at home and she calls you for something and you're paying her mother, that's all I'm saying. If you're paying her mother child support and she's at home, no, that's just me. But that's
okay.
Just me.
Okay. Ms. Denise, what you got real quickly?
Well, I'm going to err with Mr. DJ. Even though you're paying child support and there are extracurricular activities, you know, our holidays, birthdays, big events. I don't see anything wrong if the child asks the daddy for a little extra, because with child support, people have to realize child support.
Hold on 1 second, Ms. Denise. I got to err on the side of caution because I can't leave Ms. B over there by herself. You throwing out words now. I told you I'm a word connoisseur. You said a little extra. What about when it's a lot extra?
Well, it can be a lot extra if they if they need a prom dress. It can be a lot extra because I'm a firm believer child support is to take care of the household that the child is in. So sometimes you have to take that child support. You might have to pay the light bill. You might have to pay doctor bill for the child. I mean, it's child support is just so much more than, if you understand what I'm saying. Because this is passionate
to me. Y'all, this is what happens. It gets complicated because of our bad decisions.
Right.
True.
See, had we done it the right way and it been equally yoked and stayed married and been married, we wouldn't have these dilemmas. So these are dilemmas that we got to cross because we made bad decisions. Because, see, ultimately, okay, I'm going to, again, you know, I think both sides are valid, okay? But, Ms. Shabri, I can agree with you, and then I can agree with the other side. Let me show you the difference what I'm talking about. I will not. If I didn't do it in my house and we was married, I'm definitely not doing it outside of, because just because you want that computer or that dress, I'm not doing it to show that I'm super dad. Because if I wouldn't have did it when you was, if I was married to your mother, I'm not doing it when you over there just to prove to you that I'm a great parent. I'm not doing that. Okay, I'm going to make this clear now. Seriously. Because a lot of times, there'd be buying power. Go ask your dad or go ask your mama. In other words, just to, so it's almost like a discrediting type thing, because if they say no to you, see what I was saying? See what I'm talking about?
Play
that
game. All right.
Oh, yeah,
I have a hand raised, Mr.
Yeah.
I have a hand raised, Mr. Carr.
Okay, go ahead. What we got?
Go ahead, caller.
I guess that's me.
Yes.
Yeah, that's, yeah, that's
okay. I wanted to piggyback a little on what I think Ms. Cherise may have said, but I was just, when it comes to child support, taking care of a child is love, and there isn't a dollar amount on love.
That's correct.
You can't buy love, so you can't buy your child.
That's right.
And I just feel with child support, a gift isn't the same as a living expense. So if you give your child something extra, you shouldn't factor that in with child support and keep and say, oh, I gave this or I paid that. Because it's a gift. If you're doing something for your child and it's a gift, it's not the same as keeping a roof over that child's head.
Absolutely.
Because those are necessities.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Great point. And I totally agree. And can I add this, y'all? Remember at that gate called Beautiful? They asked for money. Oh, my God. They asked for money. Remember that lame man that his friends dropped off every day at that gate? And Peter, and I forgot who was with Peter, and he asked them for money. He said, I don't have that, but what I do have, I give. See, the gift ain't just finances. Let's get this clear off top. Oh, yeah, I love this conversation. The gift is not merely finances. Please do not predicate anything, as financial as love. Because if that be the case, pimps love they trick.
Mm-hmm.
I want to make it clear now. Because the greatest gift is love. So what are you establishing with the child? Because, see, if that be the case, God don't love us because we all don't have the finances that we want, huh? And we ask him all the time. Boy, I knew he was going to get quiet. It's bigger than this. This is why, for one, let's go ahead, because this can be an ongoing thing. And, we're not going to do that because we all love one another. At the end of the day, make the right choice. Meaning be equally yoked if that's what you're going to do and stay in the marriage. How about that? Get in the marriage and then you have children. Okay? When you decide to do it backwards, now you open yourself up to all these discussions. And it's going to be forever going. Because you do not know the motive of both parties involved. It might be a godly woman, who got her stuff together. And he's saying no. And it very well may be a godly man who with an ungodly woman and she just pulling. Just a pick. You do not know the scenario. Does that make sense? Does that make any sense, anybody?
That's right. Yes. That's right.
Okay?
Oh, yeah.
Because to definitively say, yes, he still should, would be absolutely wrong because you don't know how much he's doing. And to definitively say, no, he shouldn't, that would be absolutely wrong. You have to know specifically the situation of what's going on and the integrity of their heart, meaning in God.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
You understand? Because this is why the Bible says the prayer of the righteous availeth much. In other words, you can ask God for whatever you want. Is he a good dad because he don't give it? No, that means your heart wasn't right. Now what?
Mm-hmm.
Now what? Now what? Please, by all means, do not create love as a financial thing. That is not love.
All right.
By all means, let's not use that as a barometer. All right? That's fair?
That's fair.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? Because before you give them love, give them time. Give them God, as a matter of fact. How about that? And that should come from both parents. Hello?
Amen.
Amen.
Okay. And we'll leave it there. All right? I told you, get it. Thank you so much, Carl. All right. Here goes question number 8. I told you if you had time, say. Question number 8. I am a person of integrity. Okay, I am a person of integrity, and my husband of 6 years had 2 older children prior to us being married. And together, we have 2 additional children, in which he treats our two children, better than his first 2 born. Their mother is no longer alive, and I can't sit silently and see how he's going about treating these 2 children. What am I to do? # enough is enough. Oh, my. So she has a hard decision to make. Her husband of 6 years treats their children better than he do his first 2 children, whose mother is no longer alive. What is he to do? Real quickly, Ms. Shabri, what is he to do? What is she to do? Okay.
I'm sorry. Tisha, all the kids have to be treated the same. Shouldn't be treating them no different than you treat your biological kids, because that's just wrong. The parents need to have a conversation. They need to sit down and talk to have that conversation about that, because the father, he needs to step in. He really do. Because them kids, I know they feel in a certain type of way because they see it. Kids see it whether you know it or not. They know they're being treated different than the biological.
Okay, real quickly, Ms. Janice, what is she to do? And let's say, for instance, she done had this talk with her husband. What is she to do, real quickly?
Even if she's had the talk, she needs to talk with him again and just explain to him that, you know, just like God has no respect of person, he shouldn't have any respect of his children. All his children should be treated the same, loved the same, because as Shabri stated, children notice that.
Hold on, pause for a second, y'all. I'm making this too easy for him, Mr. DJ. Let me go ahead and, because the topic is hard decisions made easy. Let me go ahead and spruce this question up a little bit. He will not change. We know you done talked to him and you done did everything and ain't nothing gonna change about him. What are you to do? Now let's get to some answers.
All right.
Gonna do?
He gonna change.
No, he's not. He's not gonna change. He said it.
He got to. Me and him going to go back and forth about that thing because them children going to be treated right.
Okay. Mr. DJ, see, she made that decision. She knew where I'm going with this. Mr. DJ, okay, and I know you're not a woman. I'm not disrespecting your manhood. But if you was the woman, that was your sister, your auntie, your mama, what would you tell your mama to do after he said he wouldn't change?
First of all, you can't make a man do nothing. And second of all, you must stand in the gap for those kids. You must take them like they're your own and show this man what he needs to do. You need to go to God and stand in the gap.
Okay.
That's what you need to do.
Okay.
What
I would say with that, since Mr. Carr put it like that he won't change, I'm gone.
Okay. That's what I'm trying to get
I'm
to
gone.
The conclusion. Because there's only so much standing in the gap you can do. The Bible says marital unfaithfulness. Now, somebody might say on the phone, remember, hard decisions made easy. Somebody might say, well, hold on. Why would it go to that extent? See, I don't know if y'all realize this. You know that God will leave the flock the minute to go get that one. In other words, if you have integrity in you, it's easy. It's easy to make a decision that may seem hard to others. Why would you get a divorce and it was not even your kids? Because if he don't respect you, if he don't respect them, what makes you think he can respect you in the long run? I want somebody who respects God more than they respect me. In other words, listen to what I'm saying. I can appreciate you. I really can appreciate somebody who would lose their job because of that one thing, as opposed to saying, shoot, they don't have nothing to do with me. That has everything to do with you. Why would you? He's not changing. The Bible says only because of marital unfaithfulness. You don't think that's marital unfaithfulness? We think that marital unfaithfulness is a physical affair. That is marital unfaithfulness. In other words, they didn't step outside of God. So why would I want to be connected to that? I'm telling you, and I've struggled, and I'm telling you again, and I'm telling you, and telling you, see, it's time for me to separate ways because we are unequally yoked. Something ain't right here. That's no integrity.
All right. I could agree with that.
That's no integrity. It's only a matter of time. Watch this. The same people who you gossip with and they talk to you about other people, it's only a matter of time before they start talking about you. So if he treating them like that, what would he do to yours if you wasn't here?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Now, integrity ain't just stopping at the children. If you don't have integrity, you don't have integrity. The Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all thy ways. All. Not some, but all. So if you lying, if we together and I see how you lie about that, you think I can trust you although you never lied to me? No, indeed, because I see how you lie.
All right.
Now, some people don't look at it like that and say, I wouldn't go to that extreme. That's too hard. Why is it too hard? Because the Bible said, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Remember, Satan never attacked us, but why did Jesus go get on the cross for us and not himself? He didn't do that for himself. See, true integrity says, I'll lose everything I have because of y'all. I mean, that's true love. You got to make a decision. Because the thing is, if he don't respond to you, why you want to be with him in the first place?
All right.
So what's going to be the next thing that he don't respond to that you said that's in God? All right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Here we go. Last one, Ms. Shabri. I'm going to start with you. Ms. Janice, I'm going to you number two. Mr. DJ, you left. Here go the question. Hard decisions made easy. The question says, I am in a relationship of 5 years and marriage has never come up. Is it time for me to move on, Mr. Bruce?
Oh, that's a great question. I wouldn't put no time frame on it.
Okay.
Because you have to let God lead you anyway. If y'all equally yoke, the time will come.
Miss Janice, so, I love this. You know, people get hold of it, boy. They get hold of talking about God.
Okay.
They be giving them spiritually correct answers on his phone. Outside of his phone, what would your answer have been, Mr. Bruce? Talk to me.
Yeah, you can leave. He don't want you.
Okay.
Now, I didn't ask you to go to that extreme. Hold on, Mr. DJ. He don't want you. What if it's her? Don't do that to the fella. Oh, my goodness. Boy, we just took all kind of dogs. We'll take that, though. Lord Jesus. All right, Miss Denise, what you got?
I'm gone. I'm out. I'm like, sweet. He don't want me. If it's 5 years and we ain't even discussed marriage, I can't just continue to give you all my time, energy, and effort. And we ain't even talked about marriage. I'm gone.
Okay.
I'll holler.
But what if you, Lord Jesus, they hollering now, John. Okay. Hold on. Now, what if y'all talked about marriage but nothing never surfaced? What then?
I think I'm going to still holler.
Oh, Lord.
I think I'm going to still holler. Because I just believe if I've invested all this time and energy, and, you know, we've invested all this time with each other, and I'm still not good enough for you to marry me, I'm gonna just have to holler at you.
Okay. So at least he can go get the bubblegum machine ring or something, huh? Something, a promise or something.
Engagement.
Okay.
Well, I want to know what's the problem. In 5 years, while we ain't married, what's the problem?
I'm gonna tell you this. Even if you engage for 5 years, there's something wrong. I'm gonna leave that alone because somebody might be engaged.
Okay, you talking real good. You talking real good.
I'm not opening up tonight. We might do that on another call. Hey, that man talking about. See, don't listen to that man again. Don't you ever call in this. Mess his hustle up, Mr. DJ. Again, the question is, I am in a relationship for 5 years and marriage has never come up. Is it time for me to move on?
Absolutely, yes. What you're doing is you are taking away time from the one whom you're supposed to, who are going to be with. So they can still be friends. You can, I mean, if possible.
I ain't no friends. What do you mean they can be friends?
DJ,
you're holding back, blocking others from you know, from you.
That's right.
What have you, but like I said, if marriage hadn't even come up, oh, no.
Okay.
That's right.
Yeah, the question is, I am in a relationship of 5 years. And marriage has never come. Is it time for me to move on? Even if marriage came up, and I go back to what I was saying, even if you was engaged for 5 years, how long would it take to get married? And what's the delay? Now, if you sitting up here saying because of my finances, hold on. Here's the Bible. The Bible says, "Come as you are." When it's true love, you don't even have to have a pot nor a window.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
You understand? Please don't put it on that. Please don't. Because if it's about the ring size and the marriage ceremony, as a matter of fact, I only need two people, three, okay, four, the priest, God, myself, and them. That's it. See, everybody can talk about it anyway.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We can do a reception later. But see, the marriage is between you and that other individual, right? Here's the thing.
Right.
You know it's not between you and that other individual if they can. See, you don't get married because you can live with somebody. You get married to the person you can't live without.
Amen.
I'm trying to give y'all information. See, I'm giving y'all free stuff. I do this counseling for real. Y'all know that? Every time I get on the phone,
I have a hand raised too, Mr. Carr.
Come on, what we got?
Okay. Go ahead, caller.
A relationship has to become a partnership.
Uh-oh.
And he's been in this relationship for 5 years, and he never discussed this. Why haven't she discussed it?
Oh, Lord Jesus. Hold on. I'm about to put my running shoes. Where my knife is at? Huh? Put my right foot. Say that again.
A relationship has to be two. It's two people. And in order to be an effective and healthy relationship, it has to become partners.
Ooh.
And if he's asking a question, why haven't he? Why hasn't she?
Boy, are you speaking tonight? Wow. That is excellent.
Throughout the whole relationship, is she going to allow him to control it? As the man, he's the head of the house, but as the woman, a head, and I think you may have said this before, the head and the neck, the head can't survive without the neck.
Come on.
So if they're in a relationship, why one hasn't, as a woman, if my husband don't do something, I'm going to do it. If he doesn't say it, I'm going to ask.
So could it be that two people don't want it? Could it be that two people playing? Uh-oh.
And ask that question?
Matt, thank you so much, okay? Thank you so much. Boy, that is powerful. Because I've heard it before. What I'm supposed to do, twist their arms? No, you're supposed to have a standard.
Ooh.
Because why would you stay around wasting time unless you really wasn't wasting time? You was playing.
All right.
Come on, boy. Y'all better hear me. Who got time to be wasting like this? Mr. Bree, Miss Janice, why would you block somebody else's blessing if you don't want them, leave them be?
Yep.
5 years is a long time.
That's right.
Y'all hear me? Am I talking? 5 years is a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have that type of time to be wasting. And that is a waste of time. Seriously. So if marriage never came up, or if marriage came up and nobody pursuing, or even if you keep on the promises and you got the ring, but ain't nobody doing, what you waiting on? Why are you still standing around? Huh?
Right. Chucking them
down. I'm going to tell you one thing for sure. Him or her. Watch this now. Him or her. Let me talk about him. If he really wanted to marry, you'd have been out tomorrow.
Right. Huh? That's right. That's
because
right.
The one that he married, it ain't take that long, huh?
Right.
That's right.
Huh? Now,
you talking real good.
If he wanted to marry you, the Bible said when a man finds a wife, he finds a good thing. Now, you need to question him. Am I not marriage material? You need to question that. Am I not marriage material? But make sure that you are marriage material before you ask that question, because you may get an answer you don't want.
Amen.
Because if you know you're not doing all right, that support. You see, you know what a marriage is. It's a, like you said, a partnership. That means that's your everything. You're their everything. That means as they breathe, they inhale, you exhale. As you exhale, they inhale. Boy, it's a partnership. Do you understand this?
Yes, sir.
Again, I go back to this point, Ms. Shabree. Check it out. This is how marriage goes. Okay? It's not that you can live with somebody because somebody go to jail. You can stay in, you can live with them. They might go to prison for 10 years. Cellmates, huh? When you go to school, college, huh? 4 years.
Right.
The same room, people you don't even know you live with. Right? Right? Roommates? Talking about, I don't even know them no more. They've been changed, but they're still in your house. Roommates, huh? See, marriage is about who you cannot live without. Who is it that you can't live without? And be honest now. Be honest with yourself. You see? See, some people prolong stuff because they're happy with the way that it is. In other words, it's not a full commitment. Y'all ain't hung up on me already? It's not a full commitment. Okay, and some people they are completely happy with stuff that are not, when it's not whole. But do understand, as soon as you make the decision to live in God, you're whole. You become whole.
And that means nothing you do or accept will be half-hearted. That means you don't give a half-hearted effort, and you surely don't accept half-hearted efforts from others. In other words, because you're a whole, you either want a full commitment or you don't want none at all.
All right.
You understand? So, women, if he don't want you, let it be known. But don't you waste another day. Time is too short for that. Okay? Fellas, same way. Don't you waste another day. Time is too short. And watch this. If either one of you not putting a demand on it, do y'all really need to be together in the first place? Because there should be some demands on this stuff. How long should you have to date before marriage come on the table anyway? First of all, before you answer that, how old are you? If you're in your 20s, okay. If you're in your 30s, hold on. How many years you got to wait, Mr. DJ? You past 30, 31? What you waiting on?
Right.
If you don't know what you want by the age of 29, 30, something ain't right. I'm being honest with y'all. Why is it so hard? How long you got to date 20 years talking about before I say I do? And you sit up there and let it happen? You let them date you for 20 years?
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
Is that the person you really wanted? Because I can't believe that's what you really wanted and you didn't put a demand on it. I refuse to believe that. You say what you can't make somebody ask you, and you don't have to stay around. How about that? Because if they ain't called my number yet in the DMV line, hey, I'm coming back another day because this ain't the one. If I come back to this one at all, I'm not.
Right.
No. I'm not standing that thing all day. I got stuff I need to be doing. In other words, you got stuff you need to be living out. Why are you sitting around waiting after 5 years and talking about why are you girlfriend and boyfriend after the age of 35 anyway? Lord, not peeping the hunger of the phone. You still telling your daughter, your son got the same girlfriend and boyfriend. You calling the same people, that's my girlfriend. And you 48 years old? You 57 years old? You 39 and talking about girlfriend, boyfriend? Lord, Jesus, let's pray right quick. Hard decisions made easy. Let's make some decisions easy, okay? Easy is going to be or it's not. People should be saying, I ain't even know you was in a relationship. Yeah, because I knew what I wanted. Well, I don't believe in love at first sight. Shoot, you don't believe in love at sight because you said that you have encountered God. Did you love him? I believe in love before sight. The reason why I believe in love before sight, the Bible said he knew us before we was formed in our mother's womb. He loved us before that. So if he can do it, I can do it. Huh? Because chemistry doesn't have a face. Chemistry is just something that says, you have it in you, I have it in me, and we're attracted to each other. That's why I can believe in love before sight. Because I know what I want. I'm going to leave it right there. Miss Janice, can you pray for us right quick? We done been on this phone too long. Mr. DJ held us up. I'm just honest. Come on, Miss Janice, what you got?
Yes, let us bow our heads and close our eyes. Father God, thank you for your word on tonight. Thank you that decisions hard are now going to be made easy. Just allow us to be able to lean on you to make the right decision. Let us make the decision in the spirit realm and not in the natural realm. Father God, we just again thank you for our leader. Father God, we thank you that Mr. DJ was able to get on the call tonight, oh God. And Father God, we just ask that you would bless each and every person that participated on the call tonight and that called in. And just continue to bless the Sunday morning breakfast. And Father God, just allow your word to continue to go forth into the hedges, the highways, and the byways and compel men to come. Father God, we just thank you. We praise you. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Now, none of y'all, right now, don't y'all go get off this phone and go talk about, well, why you, hold on, turn off the video game and TV. Now, why you ain't marrying me? Because somebody got an attitude right about now. I don't know if you're going home from work, somebody's speeding. Listen. Albeit, you got to do everything decently and in order now. Okay, because I know somebody about to have an attitude with somebody. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Decently and in order, okay? Do understand, if you allowed it, you're part of the problem, too. So do it decently and in order. All right?
All right.
I have a great night. We'll see y'all on Wednesday.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.